Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. Lord, just want to hear your word, even as we worship, Father, that you want us to draw closer to you. You are the King of glory that comes in. That God, you want us to be close and intimate with you. So, Father, we just pray that you will have your way in this place. Even as I minister the word this morning, Father, I just thank you that you minister to our hearts and that you draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Right, so this morning, I want to start off with Isaiah. So you can go to Isaiah 1 if you want. If Isaiah can suddenly appear on the screens, that'd be cool. So Isaiah starts off with like this. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, I think we all sitting here will agree this is a good start. This is something that we need to desire. This is something that will change our lives. When we hear the word of the Lord, everything changes. I don't know in your walk with Christ, but I had a few times already where, you know, in different seasons or stuff, the word of the Lord comes to me and I have a clear word or instruction of what needs to follow or what I should do or how I should obey or, you know, and some of the words of the Lord that I've received actually required much faith, you know, because, you know, when God says to you, move somewhere and you get there and there's no salary for a year, who agrees that kind of takes a bit of faith? Nah, when you're a husband to one wife and a father to two kids and you don't have a salary for a year and all you have is the word of the Lord, things tend to become interesting. Yes, you really need the word of the Lord when something like that happens. But when we hear the word of the Lord, or for you maybe, what is the word of the Lord to you even today? What do you believe God is saying to you? But more than that, what do you believe at the moment is the prophetic word or God's word for the church? Yeah, the church. Not just us. And maybe just for us. But what do you believe God is saying to us, the church? Those that he came and he died for, those that he loved so much that he gave his son so that we will have eternal life. What do you think is his desire for the church right now? You see, there's a lot of stuff and people saying a lot of stuff about church and so on. You know, is it still relevant? Should it happen? But what is God's perspective for church? What is his desire? What have you even asked him, Father, what is the prophetic word for the church, for me being part of the church? Because remember, let's just put this back into where it should be. This building is not the church. This is a bunch of concrete. And all we're doing is we're gathering here. This is a tool for us together. So if we are the church, what is the word of the Lord to us right now? Because I think we all agree that hearing the word of the Lord is key. We need to make sure that we hear. Because it's when we don't hear that we run into trouble. Now, Isaiah, there's some of our favorite scriptures in Isaiah, right? Yeah. Isaiah 60, Isaiah 43. I mean, there's lots of these nuggets in Isaiah that, you know, we take those scriptures and we ponder on them, we proclaim them, we declare them, we like, yes, Lord, there's amazing things coming. But can I take you to the start of Isaiah? Now, I'm not going to start at verse 1, but I'm picking this up at verse 10, which is quite interesting. And it says, hear the word of the Lord. So clearly Isaiah is speaking on God's behalf here. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, your people of Gomorrah. So God starts off actually here, and he likens the people of Israel to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, so is this a good start? This is not the word of the Lord you want to hear, right? So God is saying to them, listen, what did Sodom and Gomorrah do? They departed from the Lord in such a way that the sins and the stuff that were going on there, you know, that came up to the presence of God, and he decided to destroy them. So that's what he's kind of likening them to, is that you are not in a good space, people. You have departed from me. Quibus, why do you start a sermon like that? It's not good. Verse 11 continues. Now, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. That's a strong word. He continues in verse 12. He says, when you come to appear before me, who has required of you the trampling of my court? So God is saying, why did you even come? You are just, you know, you're just messing up my courts here. You're in my courts, but I don't know why you came. All right? Verse 13, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. Listen, this is the very things that God instructed them to do. Leviticus and those places, I mean, there's lots of details about the way that they need to bring the offering. So Israel is actually coming before the Lord. Can we see that? Yeah. That they're bringing their offerings and stuff, and God is now saying, listen, I don't want you to do this. Okay? New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. I think that's kind of a strong word. So can you see that God is slightly... he's not in a good space with his people here, all right? So, okay, they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, so you're standing in the courts, you've got your hands raised, you're looking good, man. When you're standing in your courts with your hands raised, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That's a good word. That's something you read just before you go to bed, and then you meditated the whole night. You're like, Father, what are you saying to me? I think you need no meditation to hear God saying to them, I am not happy where you are finding yourself at. What you are busy with. You're coming into my courts. You're looking good, but it's not right. You're coming before me and there's heartless worship. You're going through the motions of just being in my presence. And you know what, Israel? I actually don't want it. I don't want you to come before my presence in this manner. Just because it's ritual, just because it's habit, just because it's something, you know, they had a revelation of God previously when he did incredible things, but now they're just going through the motions. They are not meeting God anymore. They are just keeping the rituals. And he's saying, I don't want that. I hate what you are busy doing. And when I read this week, I was like, wow. Sure, Father, this is a strong word. And I think what I take away from this is that, you know, I need to even check my own heart in the way that I come before God often. And Israel here is not in a good space. And again, he likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah, that you are busy departing from me. You are busy with sinful stuff, and this is drawing you away from the true worship, which is me. This is removing your hearts. There's stuff that has gripped your hearts and that is pulling it away from me. Your attention is shifting, and I actually don't want you to do that. Rather, don't come to my house. I don't want you to come in there like that. Don't bring your fattened calves and your offerings and stuff. Don't even try and keep the things that I've instructed you, because you've lost the heart of what I am doing. That's a nice word, Quibus. Thank you for sharing us. Let's go home. Can I pray for us? You see, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because what they did was incredible. Now, as I was thinking about this, what is the word of the Lord for the church, for our season? I believe God has a few things on his heart for us as the church globally. For us to say, and I mean, it was said here this morning, return to me. Church, I don't want you just to go through your rituals anymore. I want you to come to me. I want your heart to be right. I want your worship to be sincere. And so on. Now, is that not there? You know, I enjoy being in this church because there is sincere worship. Your hearts are beautiful. Your hearts are for God. But I'm not necessarily speaking to you this morning. But let us hear what the word of the Lord is to us, the church. Israel just fell into motions, just going through the motions in serving God. They missed it. They were probably more concerned when they came to the temple about what other people will think about them than what God actually thinks about them. How beautiful my offering is. Look how fat my calf is. You know, I've got the biggest duff here today. God is going to accept this one. Yours is a bit tiny, eh? Dude, you should get a bigger duff. Or, you know, there was stuff going on in the house of the Lord that was not right. And God here addresses that very firmly. And then he continues. Thank the Lord that he continues. All right, so he doesn't leave it there and says, okay, let's open the earth, swallow them up. I'm done with this people. It's over. He continues in verse 16. He says, wash yourselves. Vat 'n bad for a change. You know, take a bath. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Sometimes there's a deliberate walking away from stuff that I used to do what God is calling me to do. To do the good that he has set out for me to do. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's case. So he's saying, don't just look after yourselves. Look after those around you that are needy and that needs help and love and so on. I need you to look further than just yourself. You know, that's why he says, bring justice to the fatherless. You know, correct oppression. It's those that are dwelling in the house of God, it's our responsibility to bring some things into this earth by the love of God. Verse 18, come now. Do you hear the invitation? Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, God is saying to them very clearly, I actually want you to do things differently. All right, great stuff. Okay, so I'm leaving. All right, so I want you to turn around quickly. I literally want you to change your seats, turn them around, because I'm not going back there. So you're going to change everything around today. I say, so if you can't see me because there's a pillar in your way, then I would suggest that you move. Otherwise, you're not going to see me. If it means that you have to go to a different block, I suggest that you do that. So maybe I must just stand like this, that people have to move. If you can't see me now, I'm gone. Okay, just move those chairs. You know, it just took me 2 hours to pack them. But just move them. You know, it's just... When I felt God saying, this is what he wants me to do, I was like, Lord, do you know how long it takes to pack the chairs? The rows needs to be nice and tight, you know. I don't have issues. All of you know this. I don't have issues. I've been set free. a slight OCD. Was that a bit of effort? Any feel like, yeah, okay, that was a bit of effort, right? So here's the thing. When God speaks to Israel and when he instructs us to do things differently, can you see it's going to take a bit of effort? You're going to have to move things in your life. You're going to have to take something somewhere else, put it down, you know, get stuff out of your way to make room. You see, I cannot have the last couple of verses when I try and live in the first couple of verses. When I'm stuck in my ritual, my space where I'm comfortable, God is not welcome there because I'm in charge. You see, when God comes in and he says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk together about your future. Let's talk together about how you are doing things and why you are doing things. Let's get rid of the stuff that shouldn't be there because what I desire is your heart. It means I need to move stuff. I need to take stuff out of the equation. There's rituals and stuff that I've been doing in my life that is actually hindering him from using me to the full capacity that he set out for me to do. And now we're going in groups, but that's uncomfortable. Is Christianity supposed to be comfortable? Is Christianity supposed to be this nice walk, you know? Jesus died. We kind of just we're on the golden highway. We're gonna finish this. Well, it would be nice if that's the case. But many of us sitting here today knows that God's requirements on us is sometimes different than that which we place on ourselves. And it's that yielding. And you know, when God says, I need you to draw close to me, when he's inviting you into this relationship where he sits down with you and he has this face-to-face with you, this discussion, everything changes. I can't just keep on going because this is changing now. This is an intimate relationship. This is a relationship where my Father actually wants to commune with me. And I look at Isaiah 1, I see Israel being busy with a lot of stuff. You see, when we start moving things in our lives, what will happen? We'll come back to the cross. When things change in my life, it will become about this again. You see, because Israel was busy in the house of the Lord with stuff, but their hearts were far from him. And this is what God is calling us to. That sign there that says Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That is what God is calling us to. To walk in that way where we see him more than anything. So he's saying to us, get rid of stuff. Get especially those things that you are just doing because it's habitual. Heart has changed. The reason why you are doing what you're doing is not the same anymore. You see, when we do this now, suddenly we see what Scripture says. Those that were first will be lost. And those that were lost will be first. So we're going to have a chat first, right? You see, I think what that tells me is that there are those people in the earth that are pursuing God in a certain way and they believe they are 100% just doing everything right. But they are busy with stuff and what God is desiring is intimacy. That closeness. That's why he's calling us to reason together. Now, if I look at the last couple of sermons over the last time, while I hear God so clearly say, I want to be intimate with you. I want you to be close to me. I want you to be right there where we have this face-to-face thing. Where your life has an impact from the presence of God. Like I said last week, you know, function or presence doesn't come from function. Function comes from the presence. So when I'm in his presence, he will, you know, that's what he appointed the apostles. When they came to him, he appointed them there. is when we come to Him, that's where He sends us. That's where He instructs us. That's where, can you for a change see the sound people and the media people? Look at them. Let's just give them a hand. They do this every week. But see, if I do that, if I'm in children's ministry or junior amps, so doesn't matter what I do, if I do that because I'm fulfilling a job, then I've lost the heart, right? You see, what they're doing, they must flow from the presence of God. That is ministry. You know, I've been a sound man, and I know what it's like when you're standing in the presence of the God and you're doing sound, and the Holy Spirit enables you to sort out stuff. Because I know stuff can happen to media. You see, in everything and anything that we do, when it flows from the presence of God, the heart is different. When I'm fulfilling function, then everything that we do becomes a job. You see, you can do your daily work either from the presence, or you can do it as in function and try through that function worshiping God. But you see, I can fully worship God when I'm in His presence and I'm doing that. He, allowing Him to flow through me, to minister to through me, to change my weekly environment by His glory. You see, when we walk in here, we desire God's presence. Why is this different from the rest of the week? This is the gathering of saints. This is us worshiping Him. And that's beautiful. But God desires for us a lot more. I want to read to you Psalm 119, verse 10 to 12. It says this, the psalmist saying this, I wholeheartedly search for you. I wholeheartedly searched for you. Have you ever done anything wholeheartedly? When you pursue it, man, it's like it's almost consuming you. That everything you know, when you sleep, that's what you think about. When you wake, that's what you think about. And you're pursuing this thing. I did that once with a bucky. I'll confess. If you want to put your marriage in strenuous situations, then pursue something that you and your wife are not agreement about. Especially a bucky. All right, so I had this desire, man. I wanted a 2.4 Hilux 4x4. And I was driving around and I saw this thing in Durbanville. It was a sign of the Lord, you know. I think it was 60,000 or something. And at that stage, it was a bargain. Oh, my heart sank. So I went home and I started this discussion now with my wife. I want to buy this vehicle. And eventually she just goes like, you know, do what you want to do. I'm like, that is the stamp of approval. I'm going to do it. And I even said to her, I'm going to make an executive decision here. I'm just going to do, as the head of the house, I'm buying this bucky. Now, I can tell you for, what was it, 3 years? 3 years, I had a bucky that was a thorn in my flesh. Now, because every moment when I said to my wife, bucky, she became a different person. I had this desires of overlanding and 4x4ing and doing crazy stuff. And when I ask for petrol money, it's just like, eh. When something's wrong with it, eh. Tell you, it became like this thing. And one day I woke up and I realized I've been pursuing the wrong thing. I have been wholeheartedly chasing this thing and I've missed it. And you know, and I sold that bucky. One of the reasons she hated it because it was heavy on fuel. And I think something like a year later or something, I bought a 2.4 Land Cruiser, which uses double the amount of fuel than the bucky used to. But you know, because we were in agreement there, I could drive my cruiser. You see, because when we search and we pursue stuff wholeheartedly, it consumes us. And what the psalmist is saying here is, listen, I pursued it. I searched for God wholeheartedly. And then he continues, he says, do not let me wander away from your commandments. How many times does Jesus say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Nah? Right? So he says, don't let me wander away from your commandments. And then he goes with verse 11 and he says this, I have treasured your promise, your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. So what is he saying? Man, I'm wholeheartedly searching for you. I'm grabbing hold of your word. I'm putting it in my heart like a treasure, like something, you know. Many a lives have been lost in search of treasure. And he's saying, I found this word. It's your word. I'm putting it in my heart. I'm just keeping it close. I'm not letting anybody close to me because this is treasure to me. I'm loving this. I'm protecting it. I'm guarding it. I'm reveling in it. I'm the whole time in there. I just want to be in your word. Okay, so and he continues, because I don't want to sin against you, and says, thanks be to God, O Lord, you teach me your laws. You see, when we grab hold of the word of God, when we get intimate with the word of God, it changes everything. It becomes precious. You know, and even as I've been journeying through the last couple of weeks, I've had to recognize certain things that has become more important than what they should. And I want to get rid of those things so that the word of God can be my treasure. And what God is saying to Israel in Isaiah is, listen, guys, can we get back to that? Where I am your treasure, where I am the one that you are searching for. Matthew 6:21 says this, your heart, where your heart will be, there your treasure is. Speaking in the context of we shouldn't gather treasure here, but in heaven. Again, that call to that space where I am intimate, where my treasure is with Him. Because so easily, our treasures can shift. It's like this. We become passionate about stuff that we should be. And I believe what God is saying maybe to the church right now is that church, some stuff has become more important than what it should be. And you need to pull it back. You are doing certain things because that's habit, or you used to do it. And maybe it's not even bad things, but you've lost the heart, the treasure of why I'm desiring this for you. When I was praying about this week, I saw a picture of a bride. And she had dirty clothes on, you know. I didn't see the face and stuff. All I saw was the dress, and it wasn't terribly dirty, but it's like, you know, lots of dust and stuff that's on this robe. And as I was looking at this, I believe God said to me, that is how people look at my bride. When people look at my bride, that's what they see. They think my bride is dirty. She's not beautiful. There's something wrong with my bride. And I believe God said to me that that is a lie. And then the picture changed and I saw this bride beautifully dressed in a clean robe, and God said to me, that is what I see. Because here's the reality. Jesus is not coming back for a dirty bride. He's not coming back for a bride that is weak or not ready or whatever. And I think maybe in the church even we've accepted the fact that, you know, it's not all good. But here's the truth. The way God sees His bride is that she is beautiful. He's coming back for His bride. I mean, I have not seen one bride pitch at a wedding looking terrible. And all the men here go, amen. I've not seen one ugly bride. Have you noticed? Maybe you have. Okay. let's not have a further discussion there. Just leave that one there. Okay? But yes, the truth. The bride is ready. And I can tell you this much. Despite popular opinion about what the church is and who the church is and all the rest of it, Jesus is coming back for a bride that is beautiful. And can I tell you what? That is us. That is us. Let us not be caught off guard like with the maids with the lanterns, with our lamps not having oil. But may we be those that are ready. Saints, we can be busy with a lot of stuff, but we need to come back to the heart of worship. There's that song. You know, I was listening to some of the words that we sang here this morning. There's some powerful stuff. If we live like that, if the church lives like that, the world will not be the same. If we as the church are not distracted, not just going through emotion, but actually experiencing the presence and the holiness and the power of God, things will change. You know, I said this last week, I really desire for us to, as a church, as a congregation, to walk in the fullness of God. But I believe God can only move us forward as quickly as we move together. You see, that is not just determined by me. It's determined by our heart for God as a congregation, as a people, as we pursue Him. Last scripture I want to read is Revelation 19, verse 7. It says, "Let us rejoice, be happy, and give Him glory, because it's time for the marriage of the Lamb. His bride has made herself ready." As we are sitting here this morning, I guess the question to myself is, Kobus, what do you need to sort? What needs to change in my pursuit of God? Have I allowed stuff to become more important? And have I become the, you know, allowed the things of this world, this life, to just train smash everything that God is intending for me to do? And I don't want to miss that. Let us not miss what God has got in store for us. Let's come back to the heart of worship, to the cross, where we lay our lives down. Here's the thing, you know, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I bowed before Him saying, "Lord, here's my life, and I know it's Your desire as well." But saints, even as we are here this morning, I believe God is calling us higher. We have not reached the end. We are not, you know, perfect or holy as we should. I believe God is calling us higher. It's not that we are not in love with Him or not pursuing Him. I believe He's calling us higher. He's calling us deeper. He's calling us to a more closer, a more intimate relationship with Him. And my prayer is that we will not miss that.